And welcome into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. And here he is, Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yes, we did.
Fantastic.
Relaxing weekend.
Well, good deal. Well, so we got a special guest on the phone this morning, and we're going to be talking with Morley Robbins.
Yeah, first Mondays with Morley. Feel honored. Morley just coming off an interview with Dr. Mercola. Not Mercola that we had on recently, but Dr. Mercola is probably the number one holistic natural doctor. He's a DO. Probably the biggest following on the internet, and also the number one disinformationist, according to the globalist. So that's quite the honor. But anyways, Morley's gone big time, and Dr. Mercola and Morley are writing a book. We may talk about that, but it's First Mondays. Last Monday was a holiday, but First Monday with Morley is back. It's been a few months since we had Morley on, and I reached out, and Morley texted back, sugar is the white iron. Is something he's been looking at a little closer, which I think that's a really good catchphrase there. More than we start using it. Sugar is white iron, and we'll clarify that. There's some forms of sugar that are okay. Adrenaline dominance is a key stealth factor, adrenaline being that fight or flight hormones. We'll get into that today, and then we may have some time to talk about anemia of inflammation. And for those that have listened to Morley and I in the past, you understand anemia. You have to be real careful when you hear that word. I hear it all the time now. And I'm seeing more and more folks getting iron infusions. And their hemoglobin's perfectly fine. They're chasing this low ferritin. So we may or may not have time to get into that. But we will see. If not, we'll have to do part two. Morley, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ben. It's great to be here. Looking forward to our exchange.
Well, me too, and we'll just dive right in. I do want to encourage folks, go back and listen to Morley's interview with Dr. Mercola. It came out yesterday. I think it was recorded maybe a few days back, but it came out yesterday. Great interview, two hours plus, and it really covers a lot of the basics and even some deep dives into the details. And I want to say, Morley, man, I'm excited to hear Dr. Mercola has come full tilt over into vitamin D needs to come from the sun, not from a pill. And vitamin C needs to come from a cherry or some fruit, some whole food form, not ascorbic acid. That was great to hear. And, of course, copper when you can get it from food. And retinol, vitamin A, when you can get it from food. Just so exciting to see him pressing deeper into the root cause protocol and the things that you're bringing to the table. I think it's going to help so many people. Now, your goal has always been to reach the masses. You know, from day one, you've talked with me about how do we reach more? How do we reach more physicians? How do we reach more people, more patients? You know, the world. And I would say Dr. Mercola is a big step in that direction. So congrats. Good job. Looking forward to the book that's coming out that you and he are doing together. You and him are doing together in your book. Don't want to forget that. We've got it for sale at our clinic, too. Cure Your Fatigue. So, and y'all can check out all Morley's stuff on his website, rcp123.org, and connect with him and his training and his social media platforms through that website. All right, Morley, anything you want to dive into first or any thoughts? First question is, did you get some of Dr. Mercola's eggs and cherries that he mentioned in that interview that he was going to bring to you?
He, unfortunately, was not able to bring the eggs or the cherries. Mm. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So we're going to get together again before the end of the year, so I'm going to make sure I get them. But, no, I did not get my payload.
Well, and, he owes you.
I was, he does owe me, exactly. No, it's really funny when it was Robert Thompson who convinced me I needed to go to this vitamin C conference on IV therapy. I'm like, I said, Robert, that's like the farthest thing from my mind. He said, I think it would be good for you to come just to hear what they have to say. I said, all right, okay. And then I find out that Mercola is a speaker. He's one of the keynoters. In fact, he was the last keynoter. And I was like, oh, my gosh, is he really? And so we're in this conversation that was recorded a couple weeks ago, and he took a very hard stand against using synthetic ascorbic acid, especially for IV. I don't know whether it made the final cut, but my blood pressure just went down about 20 points when I found out you weren't for the for what these people were talking about. He said, "Oh no," he says, "I'm coming to speak against it." I'm like, "Oh my God, that's fantastic!" So it was really fun to be there, and I think people were a little bit shocked at his stance because he feels very strongly against the synthetic form of ascorbic acid, as you probably know.
Right. Well, were there any key takeaways? Because I know intravenous vitamin C used acutely, or even oral, let me say ascorbic acid, not vitamin C, but the acute use has been, you know, lots of clinics do that. So was there any conclusion after this conference this weekend on IV vitamin C as far as using acutely versus the daily supplementation or ingestion of whole food-based?
I think the takeaway for me was that certainly the acute intervention has some merit, although I don't know that I would do it, but they didn't speak about, they didn't really support the daily intake of it. But the part I was trying to understand, and I still haven't resolved it, it's like there's a missing piece of the puzzle, that level of infusion of ascorbic acid, I know it's changing physiology. It's producing a lot of hydrogen peroxide. It's clearly for cancer and I think Lyme and some other interventions. It's legendary. But I really wonder what is the second and third order impact? Mm-hmm. And it didn't really speak to that. But it's just, I think it, for me, the conference raised more questions than it answered, but the case studies were compelling. You can't refute the science. But I just wonder if we have a complete understanding of what this chemical is doing inside the body. I came across an article a couple weeks ago. And it was about how ascorbic acid chelates the copper out of tyrosinase enzyme. And so people think, oh, okay, you got to hurry about tyrosinase. Well, tyrosinase is what enables melanin to be produced. Well, what is melanin? Well, we've been trained to think that it's just hair color, skin color, eye color, when in fact melanin produces all the colors from yellow to black, which is a wide spectrum of colors. And this was a 2022 article, so it wasn't last century. This is brand new research, but the point was that the ascorbic acid was chelating the copper to deactivate it. Just like, wow, that's pretty significant. And what was really interesting is that you and I have talked a lot about the mitochondrial complexes 1 through 5. Well, I didn't know that they had colors to them, and it turns out that complex 1, there are different reagents that they use to assess what the status is of these different complexes. Well, the color of the reagent for complex 1 is yellow. The color of the reagent for complex 2 is green. Is red. Excuse me. Complex 2 is red. The color of the reagent for complex 3 is blue. Complex 4 is green, and complex 5 is purple. Well, that has great significance, especially when you find out that Big Pharma owns the patent for all the colors inside the body. The colors are really important in our physiology, and we've never been told that. And so then we find out that this complex, this ascorbic acid, is deactivating the very mechanism that allows us to have color. But again, that just raises more questions for me about what is its true property and what is it really doing, and are we getting the full story behind, well, we're solving a symptom, but are we solving the problem? That's what I struggle with, is this, the fact that, what was it that Mark Twain said, when you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to switch sides. Mm. And it seems like there's this massive movement. Everybody wants to be in the in crowd. Well, that's when I want to get out of the in crowd and get away from it. Because I just know that there's more to the story. And I can't get it at the level of detail that I want to get. But it's a very unsettling position that was taken at this meeting. And again, like I said, the facts and the case studies were pretty compelling. But I wondered the whole time, what do we not know? What are we not being told? It's not that they were being maleficent or trying to hide. I just don't think they know. I don't think they even know to ask the question. Yeah. And so it's just, I think that's what the last 2 years have taught us, is that we know there's more to the story. And so we're in this constant process now trying to uncover what else is there, what else do we need to know. And so I think in the short term, the IV use of ascorbic acid may have some merit, but I wonder if there's a price to be paid that we're just not aware of. Yeah. That would be how I would.
Yeah, well, I would almost guarantee there is, and just based out of my, just my own personal philosophy, it's that whole unintended consequences thing, which is so clear with pharmaceuticals. You put a synthetic chemical in there to block a receptor or block an enzyme, which is what pharmaceuticals do. Obviously, there's going to be unintended consequences. I mean, statins are the easiest example. You block the enzyme that makes cholesterol, and you're going to have a whole lot of downstream effects because cholesterol is involved in so many things. So there's always those unintended consequences in the pharmaceutical realm. But even in the integrative, I wrote a newsletter article this weekend for our members on this exact thing, the standard of care, which is what all doctors have to practice. And then there's complementary and alternative medicine, which in Texas, the Texas Medical Board Rule 200, they allow for CAM, complementary and alternative medicine. So those are alternatives to standard of care, things you can add on in addition or if standard of care has failed. But even in those CAM treatments, those integrative treatments, this like the IV ascorbic acid, maybe short-term gain, what's the long-term negative? And I'm fascinated. You mentioned it. I think it was in the Mercola interview. Why can't we just do intravenous whole food vitamin C? And I'm going to look into that. I know Dr. Antonio Jimenez, we had him on the show a few weeks ago. He's at Hope for Cancer down in Cancun and Tijuana. And they get pretty decent results on stage 4 cancer, at least compared to the National Cancer Institute's numbers for colon, prostate, breast, and lung. NCI numbers were in the 3 to 10% 5-year survival, and he's in the 20, 30, 40, even 50% on stage 4 breast, 50% 5-year survival, but he does some IV nutrients, whole food nutrients, not vitamin C, I don't believe, but I'm going to ask him about that, but certain herbs in particular that it's just infused, purified, and then infused. So I'm going to look into that for sure. Probably that's going to be on the good, better, best. It'll be the best.
Yeah, I've had a number of people try to pick at that. Why can't we have a whole food vitamin C? And it's like trying to find hen teeth, really hard.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why, but it's next to impossible.
Yeah,
at least that's what I've been led to believe.
Well, let's dive in a little bit. Sugar is white iron. How did you come up with that thought? But, and I agree. especially processed sugar, high fructose corn syrup. We almost have to define what the word sugar is these days, because there's, you know, honey and maple syrup and molasses and things like that versus, I think, what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, again, when we think of table sugar, that's actually 50% glucose and 50% fructose. And that 50% fructose is not our friend. Again, the intake of sugar worldwide has exploded in the last century, as you probably know. It's interesting, I was reading, and I finally finished the book on Otto Warburg called Ravenous. Wonderful book if you're looking for a whodunit, a fascinating expose of his life. And Sam Apple did an amazing job writing it. But he documents in Germany in 1800, the average German would ingest 1 pound of sugar a year. It's like, okay. And by 1880, that had grown to 15 pounds of sugar a year. Now, the numbers are pretty comparable here in the States. I think it was actually the number that I saw for the colonial period, you know, late 1700s, was about 3 pounds of sugar, but it was about 15 to 20 pounds by a century later. So, again, we have this precipitous rise during the 1800s, but then in the 1900s, an absolute explosion. And so you have this explosion in intake of sugar. You have this explosion in incidence of chronic disease, and you have this explosion in the incidence of anemia, of so-called iron deficiency. Like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. You know, those three charts don't make sense on the surface. We've got this increase in sugar, increase in disease, and what this book Ravenous does a masterful job of explaining is that sugar is behind all of the key chronic diseases: heart disease, cancer, obviously diabetes, and now the macro metabolic syndrome. I mean, again, just but to your point earlier, it isn't necessarily the table sugar. It's the infusion of high fructose corn syrup that has basically taken over the world in terms of the sweetener, and we're led to believe that it's 55% fructose, when in fact we've done studies of some beverages and it's as high as 65%. Well, 65% versus 55%, very, very different numbers. But the point is, fructose has known properties of chelating, or not so much chelating, but blocking copper uptake in the cell. And that's a real big deal. It prevents the uptake of copper, but it also, when there's a high influx of sweetener in the diet, the body kicks over to what's called the polyol pathway, P-O-L-Y-O-L. And the polyol pathway is a completely different pathway for breaking down these sugars, and it relies on sorbitol, and sorbitol chelates copper, and that's why people with diabetes get retinopathy, neuropathy, and nephropathy. It's because the copper is being winnowed away in those three key areas of the body, and that's causing the breakdown of the retina and the nerves and the kidney. And it's like, no one's talking about that. But the point is, there's no way to explain it other than the fact that when there's a loss of copper, there's going to be a rise of iron. That's that's been known for, you know, almost a century now. And what's fascinating is that that dynamic of low copper in the diet causing a rise of iron in the liver was recently in 2021 was proven genetically by Kim and Gonzalez. They took 12 genes and they were measuring the gene activity in these rodents and denied them copper. And what was amazing, and I think it even surprised them, but what was absolutely amazing was that they were able to genetically prove that Hart, Steenbach, Waddell, and LVM back in 1928 were right. They didn't have access to the gene activity, but only one gene changed in the Kim and Gonzalez, and that was the ferritin light chain. Well, ferritin light chain gene is what runs the liver. And when the ferritin light chain gene rises, that's what's going to cause iron to accumulate in the liver. And that's what they were able to prove. So, again, I think the connections between sugar being white iron, I just think that maybe it's sweeteners to be more generic, but I think the idea is that this hyper intake of sugar has led to a massive influx of a massive growth of chronic disease. Well, the only way to explain it is the massive rise in iron. And I'm still in the process of piecing it together, but the fact of the matter is people are not thinking about that when they're having their regular diet. They're not thinking about all the different forms of sugar they're having in their day-to-day intake. And I think it's taking its toll, not just in our waistline, but I think it's also having an effect on our ability to regulate iron, especially in the recycling program. And it's just this, I think there's a very mysterious connection there. And the fact that the Germans were so fixated on cancer back in, it was really about 1910, that they realized that there was a growing problem. And what I didn't appreciate until reading that book was that there's a direct connection between sugar and cancer, sugar and heart disease, and of course there's a connection between sugar and diabetes, but now a known connection between sugar and metabolic syndrome. Well, 40% of the world's population suffers from metabolic syndrome. That's a lot of people. That's 3 billion people. And there was a study done here at UNC in December of 2019 where they concluded that 88% of American adults were metabolically dysfunctional. 88%. That's a staggering statistic. That only 12% of people have a resilient and proper functioning metabolism. 88%, it's dysfunctional, and I think it's a condemnation of the system, more so the food system, maybe the farming system. But it's like we've got to wake up and realize that it's our diet that's as much at cause for what we're dealing with as anything else.
Yeah, and I want to remind the listeners on this iron thing. We need about 25 milligrams of iron a day to do all the things we need to do. Remember, the red blood cells is where most of your iron is at, but those red blood cells die every day. I think, Morley, it was like 2 million red blood cells a second. Is that right?
Yep, 2.5 million.
2.5 million red blood cells a second destroyed, and then you need to make new ones. So where does all that iron go when a red blood cell gets destroyed? It should go into the recycling system, and that recycling system dependent upon copper and ascorbic acid and sugar, high fructose corn syrup, synthetic vitamin D, all the man versions of food and supplements, I would say, disrupt that copper in the recycling system. So the iron gets stuck in the tissue. If you listen to Mercola's interview with Morley, he talks about a radiologist down in Miami that can now do these MRIs that show all this iron stuck in the liver, in the brain, in different parts of the body. So we are just plump full of iron. And we're still doing iron infusions on these folks, which we'll get into that. We're up against a break almost. But I just want to remind everybody, when we're talking about ascorbic acid, which is just the outer shell of the vitamin C, versus whole food C, which is a multi-complex molecule which has copper in it, we want the whole food C version as best we can. When we talk about vitamin D, we want to get it from the sun through the skin or a food base like cod liver oil. Retinol we haven't gotten into, but it's the same thing. That's vitamin A, animal-based form, though. Retinol is in cod liver oil. It's in beef liver. It's in egg yolks. So we need this high-quality food to get the original natural version, God-given, intended designed version of all these nutrients, because they work synergistically together. And we get in there and try to just micromanage and manipulate, even with quote-unquote natural things, integrative things like ascorbic acid, synthetic vitamin A, and synthetic vitamin D. There's consequences of that, which is why we try to produce whole food-based supplements in the core four. Amla fruit, also known as Indian gooseberry, that's the primary fruit that's in our whole food vitamin C capsules. We do the cold press cod liver oil, we do magnesium, and we do retinol cod liver oil. Think retinol. That's why we do the cod liver oil, for the retinol. You put all these things together and you get the sugar out. And we didn't get into the vegetable oils. We might mention that because I know Mercola's big on that. His book is going to, a lot of it going to be about that, I believe. But you get those out of the diet. Morley stops on the RCP protocol, root cause protocol. We kind of forget that there's a bunch of stops there. It's not just about what can I put in. We need to stop the things that are gunking up, disrupting our iron recycling system. So that's the point of all these things that we talk about, is how do we keep that iron recycling going? And mostly we got to get the copper back. Yes, we need the retinol for sure also, and we need some magnesium and stress, and we'll talk about that when we get back from the break. The adrenaline dominance syndrome, maybe we'll coin a new phrase there. But try to get it in your food. When you can't, then supplements are supplemental to a high quality diet, and the supplemental version needs to be as close to food as possible. We're opening up a grocery store here, Veritas Market. We'll be having a storefront next door to Veritas Medical. We will have local grown beef, pork, lamb, eggs, raw dairy, and whole food supplements there too, and other products, including some sugars. But the sugar is going to be whole food sugar. We're going to have honey from the Andes Mountains, raw honey from Healthy Traditions, no glyphosate in it. Sorry, local guys, I see all these beehives out in the cotton fields, but it's full of glyphosate. So that's the non-local food I'm going to have in there. But we'll also have some maple syrup that's from a forest, not from a maple tree farm. The nutrients that are in wild maple trees, and a variety of trees actually that you can get the sap out of and get to make the maple syrup, but that's a whole nother show. We'll get into that another day. But we're going to try to bring high quality whole food to you that's full of all these nutrients we're talking about, so we can supplement less and less. But when we need to supplement, it'll be there too. Morley, we're up against a break. RCP123.org, still the best place to find you and your things, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Everybody, check that out. Morley's book, Cure Your Fatigue. You can find it on his website, I'm sure, and also at our clinic. So y'all stick with us. I am Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. We'll be right back.
And welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Our special guest on the program this morning, Morley Robbins, right here on the show. Let's get back at it, Dr. Edwards.
Yeah, thanks, Wade. VeritasMedical.com, you can select available plans in education And you can schedule today with the Wellness Navigator. The Navigators will teach you about the core four, about the four pillars, about root causes of inflammation, how to bring that inflammation down, get you started on the right road. If you think you need a medical practitioner, that is the entry point. You talk to the Navigator first, and she will navigate you through the diet and lifestyle changes while you're waiting to get into the medical practitioner. And possibly that navigation will be so good you won't even need the medical practitioner. So check that out. Also, we've got organic hard red wheat berries grown here locally. We had a 2-ton tote delivered a couple weeks ago, and we sold out. So we got another 2-ton tote in last week. We're putting them into 5-gallon buckets. You can come by and get you some. Support the local farmers. Hopefully we'll have some black-eyed peas, pinto beans, and other things soon. We're really trying to encourage the local food production in the market in that. So y'all come support us. We'll let you know when the store's open and come get all the other products. I need to clarify, I didn't finish my thought before the break, that 25 milligrams of iron that we need to replace those red blood cells that die every second, 25 milligrams that we need, 24 of those 25 milligrams come from the recycling program. You don't have to consume or take extra iron, i.e. iron infusions, that I'm hearing more and more and more about. You want to talk about oxidative stress and adrenaline dominance, bring a needle towards my arm with a bag of iron at the other end of it. I'm going to go into that sympathetic adrenaline dominance. So guys, we've got an amazing system to recycle iron in the body. You only need about a milligram a day from the diet. Easy to get if you're eating some good high-quality beef, especially grown here locally, especially if you're eating organ meats. Our Wellness Navigators taught last week on the Zoom call how to wrap some liver in bacon, put a toothpick through it, bake it at 425 for 15 minutes, and it's delicious. So get your food that way. Get your nutrients that way. You don't need iron infusions. Almost always you'll never need an iron infusion. What you need is to jumpstart your iron recycling program. That is dependent upon copper. Whole food vitamin C has copper. And vegan copper, paleo copper available at the market. That's beef liver and spirulina with extra copper infused. Okay, so Morley, we want to talk adrenaline dominance. And maybe relate it back to the iron. Or if you have a comment about the iron infusion. Because in my opinion, when I hear a patient tell me, yeah, I've gotten 3 iron infusions over the past few months for anemia, the first question I ask is, are you bleeding? You have to be losing a whole lot of blood and have been on that road for a long time. A chronic, extensive blood loss, then maybe you do truly have some iron depletion. But other than that, and almost always the answer is no, I'm not bleeding any more than just normal or none at all. So, a comment on the iron infusions, and then we'll jump into adrenaline dominance.
Yeah, the most notable situation I'm aware of, one of my students had 80 iron infusions in her lifetime.
Unbelievable.
Over $12,000 putting iron into her body. And, of course, it never stuck. And when we first had a conversation about 8 years ago, it was pretty uncomfortable because she couldn't believe that her doctors were wrong. But she eventually came around. And she ended up taking an RCP Institute course. And she recently posted a picture on Facebook of her arm, and she was donating blood for the first time in her adult life. Because her hemoglobin was normal for the first time in her life. And so again, she just attributes it to the fact that she finally got enough copper in her system to allow for the recycling to build up the hemoglobin, what have you. And that was a legendary example. And then a more recent example was I was doing a podcast with a woman named Chantel Ray. She does a lot of weight loss coaching and stuff. And her dad's a physician. Well, Chantel's been anemic her whole life, don't you know? And I think she's had a couple of infusions, but mostly iron supplements. I said, would you be willing to do it a little differently? She said, sure. I proposed the RCP and told her about, you know, I think that there are some options that she's got. So she's very disciplined. And a couple months later, she writes me. Initially, when I was reading it, I thought there was a problem, when in fact she was euphoric, because for the first time in her life, her hemoglobin was normal. She'd never seen that before. And so, again, she was excited. I think her dad was confused. But the thing is, both individuals had the same resolution, because once copper gets back into the body, it knows exactly what to do. It really does. It's absolutely amazing. And it's very primal. And as I was listening to your earlier comments, Dr. Ben, I was thinking about what Dr. McCullough coined was this terrible triad that's in our system now. We have this hyperbolic levels of iron, we have hyperbolic levels of sugar, and hyperbolic levels of omega-6 oil, seed oil. And he thinks that that's a recipe for death. I think he's probably right. But I was thinking about it in the context of what the body's conserved response, when it starts to feel an inability to convert oxygen into water, that's when adrenaline kicks in. Because adrenaline is what adrenaline's job is to increase the oxygen consumption rate. It's designed to force oxygen so that it can be used in the mitochondria. When you think about, though, that terrible triad playing in the background, doesn't it make sense that adrenaline would be rising in the average person's body? Mm. And I really commend Michael Platt, who's a physician, for writing the book Adrenaline Dominance, because he really puts his finger on the pulse of a symptom. He thinks it's the problem, but it's the symptom of an underlying problem, which is obviously what we're talking about, the lack of bioavailable copper. But the key is, I think that our environment has become toxic to our physiology, because we have these supernatural doses of iron and sugar and seed oils, and we don't even think about that. We don't think about that having a metabolic effect, when in fact I think what it's doing is it's causing this significant rise of adrenaline. And the part that I did not know about, you know, everyone talks about adrenaline, right? Well, actually adrenaline is a freaking frack. And it's not adrenaline and cortisol. It's actually adrenaline and noradrenaline. They're supposed to be released at the same time. And I think it's worth noting that what does noradrenaline mean? It means no R group. That's what the nor means. What is an R group? It's a methyl group. So it's the methyl group is what gives adrenaline its significant property. But where adrenaline is focusing on increasing oxygen consumption, noradrenaline is stimulating antioxidant enzymes. Well, if we're infusing all this oxygen, we can't clear the oxidative stress, then we're going to have a problem. And I think that's what we're facing, because noradrenaline requires copper. Adrenaline can be made without copper. And I didn't fully appreciate that. And so the adrenaline can just keep on keeping on. But the noradrenaline is not being produced, and that's where we get into so many of these problems, is that there's no way to calm down the fire from the adrenaline rush. And it affects, I had no idea that all of these chronic conditions, you know, insomnia and autism and even diabetes, so many different conditions that have this link back to dysfunctional adrenaline. And it's, once you read it, you're like, of course that makes so much sense. But it doesn't hit you on first blush, because no one's ever put it in that context. Now, his solution, I don't necessarily agree with, is to use progesterone, to calm down the adrenaline. It's like, okay, well, that it makes sense, but only in the sense that you need to understand that in order to release progesterone, you got to have copper. So whatever's in that form of progesterone is post-market activated, and it's just people don't know that. And so the solution is an aberration of the symptom that is being caused by this aberration in our environment. But I think the concept of the adrenal dominance, again, anyone who has excess iron in their system, again, iron in the tissue, not necessarily iron in the blood. That's an important distinction, tissue versus blood. But if someone has excess iron in the tissue, they're very likely to have too much sugar. They're very likely to have too much oxidative stress. They're very likely going to have too many symptoms in their body that they don't realize all coming from that excess iron in their tissue. And so, again, one of the key components of that is going to be too much adrenaline. And it's absolutely fascinating to think about how this has been playing in the background that no one's been thinking about it. And I mean, my hat's off to Dr. Platt, because he really put together a very compelling dot connected. It's just, I don't think he has full command of the process. It's just, again, he's been trying to solve people's symptoms, when in fact what we're trying to do is get down to the root level, root cause of the problem. And I think that's really where the copper is so critical in that process.
Right. Well, and I think it'd be good to remind the listeners too, magnesium. I mean, you came into this whole thing 10 years ago as a magnesium man. And what stress, fear, fight or flight, the impacts on magnesium and the downstream effects. I still hear people say, just this week, and I heard some doctors say, magnesium is so important, it has 300 different processes in the body that it impacts. When it's more like 3,000, it's probably 3,000 to the third or to the tenth. But touch on that real quick. Magnesium, mag burn rate, stress, dumping your mag.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Just before we connected, I was chatting with David Jernigan. He's fascinating. He's a chiropractor, a natural physician, and he has a really good track record of helping complex situations get resolved. But he was so excited that he had finally had this epiphany about, he said, boy, it's not deficiency, it's inefficiency. And I went, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And what he found is that, so, like, a lot of people present with magnesium deficiency. We see it all the time, right? And he said that once he corrects the enzyme and gets them working, suddenly magnesium goes right back to where it's supposed to be. And then the magnesium is going to get burned up in any kind of oxidative stress. Because when we have stress in our world, we have oxidative stress in our body. And that oxidative stress is going to affect our magnesium status. It's active M. There are a series of enzymes called kinase enzymes that are affected by oxidative stress. And what the body does is it cleaves off a phosphate group from that kinase enzyme. And once that happens, magnesium gets lost for that transaction. Well, that is the magnesium burn rate. That's the very epicenter of it. And that would be a good thing to teach all doctors worldwide, that there is this constant magnesium burn rate. And as you bring iron recycling under control, because you're focusing on bioavailable copper, well, then magnesium can find its even keel. And so these minerals are all connected. And again, I tend to focus on just a precious few, but I think so much of the body is dependent upon this relationship between copper and magnesium and iron, in large part because they're revolving around the oxygen molecule. And if oxygen is not being regulated properly, you're going to have a serious problem with magnesium loss, and you're going to have a serious problem with iron-induced oxidation or inflammation. And that's a very basic biological phenomenon that people need to know can be very effectively addressed through the RCP, through the Core 4 that you promote. And it's not rocket science. It really is. And I think it's hard for people to believe it can be that simple. But I think our ancestors would accept it as truth just because they knew it didn't have to be complicated. But we've been trained in the modern era to think that everything is complicated. And I think that's where I think we're at a disadvantage.
Yeah, agreed. Just remind everybody, heart attacks used to not exist. 1912 was the first recorded heart attack in the United States medical literature. Cancer was so rare, every single lung cancer case was written up in the medical journals in the early part of the 1900s. Autism, unknown before 1934 when the first case was published in the medical literature. We are in a sea of chronic disease. Heart disease will kill 600,000+. Cancer, 600,000+. Alzheimer's, diabetes, autoimmune diseases. All of these are modern, last 100 years, basically, since the farming changed, our food system changed, our medical health system changed. It's no longer health care, it's sick care, symptom management. So what Morley's talking about is this basic concept of get back to the original version of food and living. The enormous stress we're under and growing every day, but the enormous amount of, how is it to put that, Morley, lack of knowledge or lack of information, missing information, missing truth.
Okay. Missing yeah. information equals missing truth. And again, if you don't know that key fact, well then, if you don't know that, then it's reasonable that you wouldn't have the full command of the truth. But that's what's kept me going, is to keep digging. And that's, again, back to Dr. Platt. I didn't know the impact of adrenaline, excess adrenaline in the body. I never read that. You know, we think of adrenaline, oh, the mother can pick up a car to save a baby. Adrenaline is running in our body 24/7, constantly, but it's supposed to be balanced with noradrenaline. I've never fully understood that, so it's just again, it takes a lot of different writers to begin to present the full picture. But I really appreciate his detective work to begin to uncover what's behind this adrenaline dominant, because I think that so many people are sort of what's called estrogen dominant. Well, again, if you're iron dominant, you're estrogen dominant. If you're iron dominant, you're adrenaline dominant. If you're iron dominant, very likely you're sugar dominant. And it's just people don't think about it in those terms. And I think the hard part about when you're running through the growth of different diseases, it's like in our face now, this is rising crescendo of chronic disease, and it's really uncomfortable to think, oh my gosh, it just seems like it's unstoppable. And I mean, I firmly believe it is stoppable, but there's a point where I think the masses need to wake up to the reality that there's very specific things they can do to begin to bring this under control, and it just takes their resolve and their commitment to make it happen.
Yeah, and like it's simple. Really, it is simple. That triad that you talked about, the processed sugar, the seed oils, vegetable oils, and the iron. Quit consuming them. And that's more than half the battle probably right there. You talked about it extensively with Dr. Mercola. We've talked about it. Get rid of the iron by donating blood. And Dr. Mercola really emphasized how some people, it's easier and gentler, maybe more effective, who knows, on doing smaller volumes, 100 cc's maybe a month or something like that. or 250. And guys, we have that available at our clinic. You need to dump some iron or dump some blood, and which that's the only way to do it. There's no other way to get rid of iron. You got to bleed it out. Of course, the blood bank's available here locally, and we recommend you donate blood. But there's lots of different rules and reasons now that they don't accept people. So just if that's you and you're in that category and you think you don't have an option to get rid of blood, we can do that for you. And lastly, I'm just going to have to say, unfortunately, doctors are not educated in just about everything you heard today. And the 20 or 30 other interviews I've done with Morley over the years, they don't know these things. I was just thinking, Morley, during your interview with Dr. Mercola, you mentioned hepcidin. We don't have time to go into that. But I just thought if you went and asked 100 doctors in the largest or smallest, any medical center in the country, from Lubbock to Mayo Clinic, asked them what hepcidin was, I'd almost guaranteed you'd be batting zero. You get zero out of 100 that would give you an answer for what hepcidin even is, much less the impacts and the nuances of it. So there's just a lack of knowledge amongst clinicians because we're not trained, we're not taught. So this is why I encourage people, the masses have to get educated and teach themselves through programs like these, and Morley's Institute, our wellness navigators can teach some things too. So that's the point of the program here. You're the cure. You have to take responsibility to change your life, change your food, change your habits, change your thoughts. The stinking thinking gets us in trouble. So, Morley, thank you for all you're doing, the research, the science you put behind what I call the basics. Just get back to living and eating the way our great-grandparents did. But you bring the science to prove the why, and these days people seem to kind of need that to push back against the quote-unquote science they hear on TV all the time. So thank you for your continued efforts in pursuing all the literature, going back decades even into the literature. Thanks for bringing that to us again. Everybody, y'all can check out our previous shows on veritasmedical.com under the resource tab. There's the podcast page, and you can, one of the drop downs there is Morley Robbins, and it's all our old interviews. So go check that out. And then rcp123.org. You can check that out. Again, veritasmedical.com. You can sign up to the Wellness Navigator program to get educated. You can also shop for copper, vegan copper, paleo copper on there. And the new store will be coming soon. First Tuesday Talk in October is going to be featuring that new store. We'll talk about corruption in medicine, but also what are the solutions, including local food production. So y'all come to the First Tuesday Talk, 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday of October. I believe that's the 3rd. Morley, any final parting thoughts or words? Thanks again for joining us today.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. Just to amplify the points you made, and then maybe it's a topic for a future conversation. Hepcidin, I think, is the stealth issue, not just in iron, but in the disease process, because practitioners don't know about it. The public obviously doesn't know about it. But it plays this very powerful role. But what's important for people to understand is that hepcidin does not rise in the body unless there's no copper.
There you go. Back to copper again. It's always copper, Morley.
I know. I'm a one-trick pony, but the pony just keeps delivering the goods, right?
Yep. And we didn't mention about an 80% depletion in copper in our food due to lots of different reasons that we're out of time to talk about. But go listen to some of our other shows to hear more about that. But the food, unless it's coming from a regenerated soil, it's hard to get that copper. So that's why we supplement where we're deficient. Okay, Morley, thank you. Another great conversation. Look forward to our next one.
You bet. Thanks so much.
Thanks again, and of course, you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.